guys think, if you were to quiz people on the street, how many people know the price of a stamp these days?
Zero.
Yeah, I
100%.
No, yeah, I don't know what a stamp costs. I don't know what they cost when I get stamps. I just say, give me the stamps, and then...
Here's my money.
I tap the card or my watch, and then I have stamps now. That's,
that's the
only barometer.
Yeah, I remember my wife buying stamps like 4 years ago. It was right before COVID. So like, it probably was Christmas for our Christmas card.
Okay.
And I remember being like, how much do you think we should spend on stamps? And like, I literally don't know. I'm assuming it's about 50 cents per letter, but like, I have no idea.
You could get a book of stamps, which could in theory last you for years.
Which she did. She bought a book of stamps and then she came home and we were addressing all the cards. I'm like, how much were these? She goes, I literally don't know. Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Hold on. I found the video, but now it won't let me skip. Let me skip the ad.
No, you can't.
Motherfucker. Hold on though.
Unskippable ads.
I'm going to mute the ad.
Of course you would.
Smart.
And then skip the ad and then no thanks. I'll get it later maybe. But here's the song. When does it start?
Your stuff. I got us a place to play.
What is it?
Come on.
Never seen this in my life.
We're about to get sued if this is on our actual episode.
Taste the biscuit.
Oh.
Taste the goodness.
I know what you're talking about now.
Taste the honey sauce. Taste the goodness of the biscuit with the honey sauce.
You know what she's talking
Does this get to the guacamole? Is that her?
Honey sauce on me.
I don't know if I've heard the whole song.
I don't like the way it tastes with my chicken wings.
Now, are they being like ironic or are they being serious?
Taste the biscuit.
I don't know. They're getting down
taste
though.
Taste the goodness of the biscuit.
2009. All right. So we probably can't include
taste
the
biscuit.
They're known to sue people for $5, and I don't want to give them $5.
I mean, if you're that flat on the original note, you're buying rent to get you to. Yeah, fuck
so
that.
So bad, dude.
I mean, you're going places, right? Like, we should talk about that.
Oh, physically.
Well, but also in the world.
What?
Both things are actually going to come to fruition on this episode.
You know?
But I feel like first we should talk about the travel.
Lots of travel. We've been talking about the fact that I'm going to Japan, finally.
Ooh!
And we have mentioned in passing that I will also be going to WrestleMania, finally. Those are, Marnie pointed out to me, I don't know how I didn't put this together, but Marnie pointed out to me about a week ago, my wife, that those are my two like boyhood dreams. If I could be Shawn Michaels for a second. My two boyhood dreams were going to Tokyo.
Okay.
And going to WrestleMania.
I was picturing them together, mm-hmm. and I was a little bit like, I'm not quite sure. Like, did you always dream of being the heartbreak kid in Tokyo and just like fucking chin musicking random strangers?
That's when he won. Remember they said the boyhood dream comes to fruition when he won the title exactly. One time. But yeah, so those two things, and then I'll be going to Chicago for a coffee show. So there's just a lot of travel coming up in terms of the housekeeping for the program. We're going to do our best to not miss any weeks. We've been on a fucking roll.
Woo!
Going back to our holiday break. Like past that, I mean, I think we're well into like November for not missing anything mm-hmm. except for the one tweener Christmas New Year's week where we expressed that we will not be recording. But beyond that, we've been just steady killing it.
With some dope ass guests.
Yes. So we're going to try not to miss any time. But I will be in Japan for over a week. So unless we plan ahead for that, you might miss something. We may not be there for you for a fucking week. But we'll try to make it just one.
Yep.
You guys should do a video.
I want to desperately. I feel like we're going to try and just see what happens.
Yeah, we've talked about.
But I feel like if, Charles, if I send you with a USB microphone, I think we could do it if you want to. So... We'll just see how it goes.
I could just use my like lav mic for my like Rode lav mics for something like that. It also would work really well.
Yep.
We'll see. Let's talk about it because there could be something we do, or if even just like a little bit of content, we could record a video call of just like me walking around fucking Tokyo or something.
Yeah.
We could put it up on our socials now that we're doing some more interactive stuff like what we did with Nerdy. So we'll see. Yeah.
And I'm just insanely jealous. So that's really all that is for me. I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're going to have some travel coming up this year too. And we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah. It's starting to come around. Because of the new job that I've talked about a few times on the show, sounds like I'm going to do a little run through the Bourbon Trail down in Kentucky. Mm. And I am very much looking forward to that. And I also am planning on, if we can make it work, I'm planning on actually bringing shit with and would love to do a remote from down there. So we have a lot of cool shit coming up, but that's all in the future. What we're going to talk about is the today's.
Yes.
Because we also have some big news. We've talked a little bit about it, but we've also hinted towards where things were headed. And we have some really cool things, hence our guest today. So, Charles, do you want to kind of roll that out?
Yeah. So, as listeners know, we've recorded for a very long time at Club Caraway and its two manifestations, once when it was like the prior building that we were in, and then now in this current building we're in that may or may not house a popular Netflix dating show.
Look, love is unable to use one of its senses.
Yeah.
And these things may have existed around us, which is kind of fun to be a part of.
Is it smell? Because they're farting through silk sheets.
Who doesn't?
I made it a point that I wanted to use the term farting through silk sheets today to find a way to work it in.
I mean, if there's... When like a rock band goes like smooth jazz, I feel like that's a perfect title.
That's an old wrestling term for when a wrestler was like really making a lot of money. Oh, he's farting through silk sheets.
Man. Wanted that to be like an original thing. Like, fuck.
No, it's almost, I almost always hear some shit like that from Jim Cornette. So to get back on the order of business, I've been working with Derek Reed and Club Caraway for some time. Now we've sort of codified the fact that we are partners in the business. And we'd been putting off bringing Derek back on the show because we wanted to be able to talk about this.
Facts.
It's been in the works for a while. So now we can kind of, we have like a first party relationship with the business that we record in effect, because we record in this beautiful mansion because of Club Caraway. Mm-hmm. And we've invited Derek back on to talk about all things fashion.
Fashion.
That's me.
Hey. Derek, can you kind of talk about, I know obviously we've chatted about this on the show when you were a previous guest, but like how this has come together and what you see the future looking like?
Like how the relationship with Charles and I has come together?
Yeah, or? A little bit of that. And then also like just your, like we've been through some crazy times where we weren't allowed to be around each other. And now looking at doing like personal tailoring and atelier stuff, talk about how this sort of partnership is happening, but then also like going forward, what you see for Club Caraway and the Atelier?
That is a really good question. I mean, the whole idea of Club Caraway was really born out of my personal love for sartorial menswear and style in general.
For sure.
And, you know, looking around, especially through the pandemic, things got real casual for a minute. And not that there's, you know, anything wrong with that, but I for me personally, I like to dress well. I like to dress up. Even if I'm working from home, I'll often throw, you know, a jacket or something on because I feel different. You know, I feel like I perform better when I'm dressed well. So I wanted to create Club Caraway to give people really the experience of being able to dress well at an approachable price point, and also to have some freedom in how their items are designed. You know, so we've procured cloth from, you know, the finest mills all over the world. We specialize in a handmade product, and it's a service that we provide where we, you know, our job is not done until the fit is perfect. So that was really kind of the inception of the idea. And I met Charles through this weekly cigar session that we'd have at the Bungalow Club over in a restaurant in Minneapolis here. And that's where I've met a lot of these lads that have a lot of similar likes and dislikes. And it just naturally, organically blossomed from there.
Shout out to everybody listening. If you're swinging through the Twin Cities, please grab dinner at Bungalow Club. Chef Kraft is killing it over there. And some of the best food that you'll find in the Twin Cities, all handmade.
One of the best.
But yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that was really it. And so, you know, Charles and I, we have a lot of similarities in the way we think and a lot of differences too, which I think is really special because some of the things that I don't think of is kind of his sweet spot. And so it's been a really fruitful relationship on a marketing side and branding side and being able to kind of stretch my wings because I'm so focused on the sartorial side and how things are designed, how things look and fit. And then he combines this marketing and branding component that I think really helps deliver it to the people.
Hell yeah. When did this become like official?
Recent, within the last month?
Really? It's, yeah. Honestly, like February 1st would be kind of the beginning of our official partnership. We've been working together since 2022.
Of course, of course.
In, you know, various fashions with my creative studio, Patmos Design and Identity. So doing marketing and creative design consultation, all those things. And then just sort of, it was fairly early on where Derek was like, dude, you should consider partnering with me. Like I think it would be fruitful for all of us. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, I've been offered that quite a lot from either prospective clients or actual clients. Like, here's some equity, take some points. So I'm usually like, yeah, let's see how it goes. Let's talk about it. But it did dawn on me very early on that what Derek does at Club Caraway is not only sorely needed and impossible to find in this marketplace,
facts,
but in any marketplace. And it's easier to come by something like Club Caraway in Chicago, New York, LA, anywhere in fucking Italy or in the UK, like in England, you can find things like what Derek does on the Clothier side. But to give you a synopsis, the elevator speech or the thesis statement of what Derek does is he takes over 30 measurements of your body. He can make you any clothes you can imagine. If you let him be your stylist, he's going to fit you in something that's so classic that your kids are going to wear it and it's going to look as good on them as it did on you in 2024. And it'll last that long. And the price is like wildly approachable. I didn't know anything about the bespoke process of this style of clothes making until Derek made me my first suit. And I didn't know that the prices were as approachable as they are because we have all come to sort of expect as men that, or anybody, but I'm speaking as a man myself, that to acquire a fully custom suit, true custom, over 30 measurements, mm-hmm. handmade, with the finest fucking cloths you can acquire, that's going to be, I mean, if you would have asked me, guess how much you're going to pay for this? I would say starting at $3,000. Yep. It's, we won't quote prices, but it's nowhere near that. The point of access is really surprising, and it makes it so that you can wear something. I had a friend today, the last point on this. I had a friend today who just got a suit. My buddy Jared just ordered a suit from us. And I asked him, how's the suit going? After I made a joke about the Dune popcorn bucket. And he asked me, like, okay.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing, step bucket? Yeah, he asked me if I could go see the movie with him today. And I was like, dude, I'm working. And he said, well, I guess I'll drink a bottle of wine myself. And I said, you're going to be on a date with the Dune popcorn bucket.
I'm saying.
Anyways, he just acquired a suit. And he does really well for himself. And he said, it's my second nice suit, but it's the first suit I've ever owned that makes me look like I work out. Do you know why? Because it fits your fucking body. Because it contours you, it looks like, especially if that's your style. Because, of course, other people like different styles, right, Derek? Like, not everybody wants something that fits them like a glove.
Yeah.
But I have suits from Derek that fit me like a glove. It's very much a second skin effect. You feel like you're not wearing anything sometimes if you're wearing, like, a nice lighter weight suit. Yep. You're just standing there, and you're like, You, if you just look straight ahead of you, you wouldn't know what you're wearing. And then you look down and you're like, oh, it's a suit. I'm used to feeling like shit wearing this much fabric, but it works really nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will also throw out, like, as somebody who has also had things made by you, Derek, one of the things I love is what we try to do. Like, if you watch the first few seasons of the original, like, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, every single time it's a guy trying to cover up something that he's not happy with about himself. And really all it does is draw attention to that.
Right.
You know, like if you're a little big on the waistline, people would like wear like a sweatshirt, you know, tied around their waist. And all that does is make that bigger.
Yep.
What I love about the fit that I get from clothes from you is that it makes the things that I don't love about myself feel good. And everything I do love about myself, like, feel better.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Like, it makes me look that much better. And I notice the difference even when I look at photos of me wearing Club Caraway stuff versus not. I have a different stance in photos because, like, I feel different when I'm wearing that shit. And yeah. that's the thing that I keep trying to preach to, especially my male friends, but anybody out there listening. Like, get something that's made for you and made for your body, and you will absolutely change the dialogue that you have with your body because you're used to wearing things that were meant for somebody else's body type and forcing it onto you.
Exactly.
So it usually either makes your favorite part feel shitty or make your worst part, like, more visible.
Right.
Because you weren't meant to wear that. That was meant for a robot. That was an average of everybody else's measurements.
Yes.
And really, at the end of the day, what you need is something that is meant for you.
Yeah.
And it changes how you feel and how you move and how you react to people. Like, it's crazy.
So you wear the suit instead of the suit wearing.
Correct. 100%. I love that. Well, we should get into what we're drinking.
Yes, please.
So, I love the fact that we just have this depth of catalog from Beam Suntory. We are rocking a Maker's 46 French Oak spiked bottle. I love the silkiness that it gives this whiskey. It is so beautiful. Again, we talk a lot on the show about, like, makers. I just love that this takes all of that and turns it up another couple notches. Like, it's not just turned up to 11. It almost might be 12. Super easy.
Really good.
Super bright. Like, everything that you could possibly love about, like, Demerara simple syrup comes through in this with this really deep, like, caramel back note.
Oh, yeah.
And I adore this.
It's very balanced.
Yeah. It's just easy drinking. Like, if you had somebody who's like, I don't know if I would ever drink whiskey on the rocks, this is what I would pour for them and just say, I mean, this is not hard to just enjoy.
No.
Yeah, and this, it's powerful enough that it cries out for some dilution.
Absolutely.
But when you procure a whiskey like this, and then if you're one of those guys that I used to be that guy, like, oh, I don't dilute it, I drink it straight. If you're one of those boys, get this bottle, lay it down on a cube, and then just watch how it changes.
Yeah.
You know, give it 60 seconds, take a nip. 60 seconds, take a nip. Give it 3 minutes, take a nip. And then here's the other tip that I give everybody, and, you know, Derek, this happened when you were at my home and we were grilling and we drank some George T. Stagg.
Mm-hmm.
We diluted it, and then when I diluted it enough, I put my grubby little paws in the glass and I took the cube out and whipped it in the yard. Because if you've diluted it to the point where you like it, get rid of the cube.
Call it a day.
Yeah. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be a race against time, because that's how you get real drunk.
Well, that's also how you end up with, like, super watered down shit. And now you've completely, like, polluted what you were trying to do in the first place.
Right.
But yeah, man, this is so perfect. And honestly, for me, this was about a 10-minute lead time. And that absolutely is exactly what I hoped for from this. And straight off the bat, it was hot. But then you let it sit for a little bit. And all of a sudden, all of this, like, brightness, it's almost like the clouds part and, like, sun comes in and you're like, ah, there it is. That's the window.
French oak edition, but it tastes like French silk, maybe.
Oh, well, should we jump into the first question?
Let's go for it.
Cheers.
I mean, one more time, I guess. Derek, I don't know that you ever actually introduced yourself, so I feel like maybe let's do that.
Yeah, my name is Derek Reed, and I'm the founder of Club Caraway. And I think we pretty much went into some other things, so I think that should do it.
If somebody, and we'll talk about this at the end again, but if somebody was looking to find you and they were looking for some delicious, incredible, wonderful men's clothes,
I would go to clubcaraway.com. It's a great resource that'll connect you to everything. You can also find us on Instagram at Club Caraway.
Two R's.
What was that?
Club Caraway with two R's.
Yes, two R's. That's very important. Yes, absolutely.
That's the key.
Think Nick Caraway. If you're thinking Great Gatsby, Nick Caraway, you'll get it right.
All right. Well, then to jump into it.
That's a bogey.
This is something I've always wanted to ask you, Derek.
Ooh, I'm excited.
What was the first piece of clothing that you felt like legitimate like pride in when you rocked it? First thing that you were like, yes.
That is a good question, because it depends how far you go back.
That's up to you.
I would like to say that it was like the first suit that I had made for myself, but I actually think it was, back in the day, there's this little company called Abercrombie & Fitch.
What?
I don't know if anybody knows of it.
Boutique.
They're never in trouble. They stay under the radar, which is good. And, growing up, we didn't have a ton of money. I'd say we were like middle class-ish. And so when I had procured my first few items from Abercrombie & Fitch, I felt like, you kind of had arrived, that's the way I was feeling at that time. Mm-hmm. And, but the first real moment where you feel like an adult is when I had like my first like tailored suit. I'd gone to Macy's. I'd picked something up off the rack. I thought it was pretty great. It was a 3-button suit. Not the kind I would probably wear today, but this was a little bit ago. And had it tailored. And, I mean, man, you feel like $1 million. $1 million. And now I look back on it and I'm like, probably don't look that great. But, it's
all good at the time.
It felt great at the time. And I think how you feel in something is a huge component to it.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Did you wear it with all 3 buttons buttoned?
Just the top two, the top button and then the middle button. Yeah. I knew that much.
Looking back on it, it was always a thing that I loved was like all my group of friends in college when we like got dress clothes because we had to get ready for like a job interview or whatever. Everybody always just buttoned it all the way down. Mm-hmm. And we just looked so silly.
Yeah, that's something I always notice when somebody has, like, all the buttons fastened.
Thanks a lot, Henry the Fifth?
Yeah, and I think I remember seeing, like, pictures of, like, John F. Kennedy doing the same thing, and man.
Charles, what about you?
Take it a decidedly different direction. We didn't have a lot of money when we were young, and we didn't have, like, really nice clothes. I remember I had a pair of Asics that I told my friends were pumps, and they very clearly were not pumps. If I pretend, I'd be like, "Don't you hear that?"
Like, making the noise with your mouth.
Yeah, my gym sweats had knee pads on them. I had no choice. That's it.
I'm sorry. I would just say I would buy those right now if I could have sweatpants that had knee pads for when I have to do like fucking.
They look like
chariot raises. I would 100% do that.
Straight up, they look like the type of workout pants someone on Game of Thrones would wear because they had like leather pads on them. It's very odd.
Again,
I don't I don't know.
They were assless, right?
Where these things came from. Oh, yeah, they were assless for sure. Yeah. And I remember the first time I kind of felt like, not like a normal kid, but like I had a little cachet because of something I was wearing. It wasn't my first jersey. So my godmother got me a Thurman Thomas. No, she got me a spoiler alert. She got me an Emmett Smith jersey, and I fucking hated the Cowboys.
Yep.
I was a Buffalo Bills fan and Vikes,
which is the only right answer.
And I eventually got a Thurman Thomas jersey.
Yes.
I wore proudly.
Yes.
And I remember not only was it the jersey I wanted, not only was it like an NFL starter jersey, like it felt like a big deal at the time, but it was also a player that I loved that not a lot of other people loved, so it felt uniquely mine. I just remember wearing that to school on, you know, the casual Friday or whatever, because we had a uniform in my middle school. And when I'd wear that, like the first day I wore that jersey, I just felt like the biggest baller. Honestly, that's like a feeling that isn't really replicated until you wear something like a suit that Derek
wears. Facts.
You know what I mean? Because you put that on and you just kind of look around at everybody.
Shit.
Like, yeah, this is me, right? And I remember wearing that and just like walking through the hallways with this theme song playing in my head. And there's, you know, Bone Thugs or something. And it's just like, look at me. I got a Thurman Thomas jersey, if you know who that is even.
Right. It's like half the people listening are like, what the fuck?
Thomas
is
who?
Thurman a real name?
What?
But facts.
Listeners, especially our dear friends in Austria. We're still ranking in Austria. What's up, Austria? We love you.
Thurman Thomas is the shit.
American football player, Thurman Thomas.
Yeah.
The only Thurman I know is Thurman Merman.
Also not mad about Thurman Merman. We can celebrate that too. Bruce Smith was my second jersey that I ever got.
Damn, we could have started a team.
Right? I mean, Joey Browner was my first because, dude, he wanted the snot bubbles. It's hard to get mad at that. But yeah, Bruce Smith was my absolute jam, and I love Thurman Thomas. I love Don Beebe. James, like, that team was so incredible. Mm. But for me,
Reed, like, and Kelly, and man,
yeah,
come on.
So the reason I wanted to ask this question was because I was honestly thinking about that. Like, Derek, I feel so good, and I get so many compliments when I'm a part of a formal event and I wear the coat that you made for me. And I was trying to figure out, like, all right, when did I feel that for the first time? Because I, being a plus size model and a complete fucking giant that doesn't fit in most things, I do feel like I'm still a little bit fashion forward. I wear bright colors a lot. I do a lot of different patterns. Like, I'm interested in looking nice. And I thought about, like, when the first time I actually felt that was. And I was lucky enough to, like, get a pair of D Brown pumps, and I love them. And I'm still trying to, like, replicate those. Yeah. But I bought those because I was trying to copy other people, you know?
Yeah.
The thing that really, the first time that I felt like I had an idea about fashion that other people maybe didn't get, you know, like, where you feel like you got, like, oh, I'm doing this.
Yep.
It was a little brand that all my Gen X people are going to fucking have their ears brighten up. A little brand called Marité and Francois Jabot.
Ooh.
And
Jabots.
I bought eggplant purple Jabots. X brand. So they had weird pockets. Like, the X brand jeans, I still don't quite understand why they went with. It was pockets that were, like, closer in. And then somehow the seams crossed, but there was a tag, and then you had the belt loop that would go around the button, because they were all button fly.
Interesting.
But you could put the belt loop around the button so that your pants would never accidentally become unbuttoned. And, oh my God, as a fan of the Charles Barkley and Kevin Johnson and Dan Marley sons, having the exact purple and then knowing that in the 90s, I could just buy whatever bright-ass orange shit I wanted. Boom. All right, Phoenix Suns. What's my other favorite team? Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, Muggsy Bogues, fucking...
See, that was everybody. Right? I was the Suns boy, though.
Right, but the purple was the... It was the same.
You could, yeah, you could switch
so
up.
So I could rock orange and be a Suns fan, or I could rock teal
and be a Hornets,
and be a Hornets fan.
Mm-hmm. Smart move.
So those Jabots, that was it.
Are they still around, Jabots?
They are still around. They have somehow managed to miss the entire 90s callback.
Interesting.
So they are still languishing in weird. They're charging like $150 a pair right now. Like, they just have not figured out how to do, like, the Massimo, Stussy, everything else from the 90s. Just sell the fuck out and do it.
They're missing an opportunity.
100%.
Yeah.
And I guess props on them. I mean, if they're going to try and make fine denim be a thing, good on you. But when they really were hitting was when I could have the same pair of pants. I had them in Phoenix Suns and Charlotte Hornets purple. Also, I had, like, maroon. I had cream. I had orange. I had army green. And look, we do that with like chinos. Yeah. We do that with khakis now.
Yep.
But they just don't do that with jeans. And dude, that was the greatest era. And I felt every time, like if I could come in some dope ass, like quote unquote designer jeans, which I would literally birthday or Christmas have to like save up for. And then I would get a gift certificate from my grandfather who was like, I don't know what to do with you. I don't want to deal with you. Here's money. Just go to Dayton's. Then I would go there and just buy whatever the coolest pair was.
Yep.
Because then you could put whatever you wanted with it. Like, it's sort of like having a really dope sport coat. That sport coat takes focus away on anything else that you're rocking. Yeah. Like, it's kind of dope. So it you is. Get to have that, like, hey, I have one statement piece, and then everything else is just there to go along with it. Mm-hmm. So that was it.
Yep.
But my, to those purple jabots, they did the Lord's work, man. There were weeks that was like 3 days a week at least.
Do you remember their demise?
I do. Oh God, it was so sad. So I rocked those. I got rid of a lot of my jabots, but I rocked the purple ones all the way up until college. Freshman year in college, literally probably the third or fourth party that I went to. It was one of those early freezes because we live in the upper Midwest. Super cold one night.
Yep.
And they had had a keg cash. And so they had poured like what was left from the pitchers out because it was all flat.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left to go home, I walked out that way. And so on the driveway, I just hit like 10 feet of pure beer ice. And my left foot went forward and my right foot was like, no, I'm good here. And then the entire crotch of my jeans just blew the fuck out. And then I still had to walk home on an abnormally cold night. So none of us were like planning on coats ahead of time.
Because
just as a reminder, if you didn't have a cell phone in your pocket, like you wouldn't know what the weather was going to be.
Yep.
Like nobody was like looking up weather every morning when they left before that was the thing. So I had no idea it was going to be this cold. So now I'm walking home in basically like a shitty hoodie, shivering. And now my pants were torn from basically scrotum all the way up to tailbone, just blown out. So every gust of wind was like, hi, we're going to get all your fun parts.
Yep. You limped home with your ripped pants.
Yes, exactly. It was not a short walk. But that said, that still was my favorite pair of pants. And I was more sad about mourning that pair of pants than I was about the cold walk home.
We should be pouring a little out for
for the X brand fucking purple. I feel like it was lavender purple or satin purple. They had some crazy name for it, but those jeans were the shit.
Mm.
Here's to the deadened nerves in your taint.
You'd think, but yet.
Powerful taint.
Powerful taint.
All right, I'm up to bat. So the three of us share a love of comedy. We all went to see Chad Daniels last weekend.
Shout out to Chad.
Yeah. Shout the fuck out to Chad.
Hey, what up, Chad?
What a fun night. Like, what just a blast.
Yeah, he was recording his new stand-up special here in St. Paul at this really beautiful historic theater. And we each went, Derek and myself and our wives went to the first show, and Quam went to the second show. So we covered all the bases for the recording. My question is, who is a favorite comic of yours right now? Ideally someone that people may not have heard of, maybe somebody newer, or maybe someone obscure, but like, do you have a favorite comic right now?
That is a good question. Cause I find myself watching, listening to a lot of podcasts with comics, like, like Tom Segura and Christina P. And I would say a comic, there's probably a couple. I think there's some underrated comics that I think are worth the mention. I've got a gentleman, I don't know if you've heard of Steve Byrne.
Fuck yeah.
Steve, yeah. He's got a great, unique sense of comedy, and he's a great, he writes great material. He's got great delivery. And I feel like, for those of you that don't know who Steve is, if you Google Steve Byrne, I promise you will not be disappointed.
B-Y-R-N-E,
yep,
right?
Correct. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and he's a great guy. I've had an opportunity to meet him and make him some threads as well. But I outside of that, I mean, he's incredibly funny. And a great human being too, which is like a bonus. Yeah. There's another, there's a female comic, Erica Rhodes.
Oh, she's dope.
Yep. Yep. She's great. I think those are probably the, you know, some of the top two that come to mind.
Erica's awesome. Also like a fun follow on Instagram.
Oh, absolutely.
Like she's super interactive, yep. Like Twitter and Instagram. She's all over that shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah. I guess that's your question, Charles. So I got to answer
it. It is in fact.
All right. So the person that I wish desperately to make famous is a guy from Minnesota called Comrade Tripp. Hmm. His first name is literally Comrade, like, hello, Comrade. T-R-I-P-P. He has, it's not like Mitch Hedberg. It's not like the one line.
Yep.
But his delivery is so different from any comedian that I know that it reminds me of Mitch Hedberg.
Okay.
There was a joke that he did the last time that I saw him. He was like, so I have both anxiety and depression. And they were like, well, what's the difference between the two? And I was like, well, anxiety is like the whole crowd hates you. And honestly, they probably want to kill you. And then my depression is like, yeah, that. And it's like, it's so subtle, but the way that he slow burns on shit.
The past forever. And I feel like they cancel each other out, though. I feel like
he looks anxious.
The anxiety is like, oh, what if everyone here hates you? What if they all want to kill you? And then the depression's like, yeah, they. They do.
He's like, he has this delivery, and I've seen him do open mics, and now he's graduated to like emceeing, and now he's graduated to like featuring.
Never seen him. That's cool.
He's so funny, and his shit online explodes, but he still can't sell out like a local comedy place. Like when he does Comedy Club Underground or when he does Acme.
Let's fill it up.
It's still not sold out.
Interesting.
And yet he gets like somewhere between four and 10 million views on some of his like TikToks and shit.
114K on IG.
Yeah. Like it's wild. And he sells it so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like you feel like, okay, this has to be a joke.
Yeah.
But he sells it so hard that you're like, I'm like, laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, like you don't know if it's a character.
Or, yeah, yeah. And to this day, I've seen him 4 times live, and I can't even tell you how many like videos I've watched online. It's so brilliant the way that he has mastered that, and that's where the Mitch Hedberg thing comes in with me. Was Mitch was like as somebody who knew him, Mitch was part of that for real. He was nervous. He wanted to have sunglasses on because he didn't want to make eye contact.
Yeah.
But also some of that was like, then he could just be fucked up and not have to look at anybody and whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know where the line is with Comrade Tripp, but I'm obsessed with him. I just think it's fucking genius. And his diction and the way that he sells it is so funny to me because everything feels like, oh, this is just like a sweet person. And then he says the most offensive shit. And you're like, yep. But it's never offensive to be like, oh, I want you to laugh because I said bad words. It's I'm literally like making fun of a thing that might kill me. Ha ha. And it's just fucking genius.
I'm going to have to look him up. Is that his real name?
Yep. As far as I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to check him out. He has no concert dates on his, or he has no appearances or stand-up dates on his website currently, so I wonder if he's
working on new stuff right now.
Maybe just, okay.
Cool, there's cool. We have in Minnesota, we have one of the biggest stand-up comedy festivals in the country called the 10,000 Laughs Festival. And we have comedy that pops up all across the city in venues you wouldn't expect comedy to come from. Mm-hmm. And then it culminates in huge headliners doing theaters. And then that's the end of it.
When is that festival?
It's starts at the end of September and it goes into October.
Okay.
So I know for a fact that he's working on material for that. Also, Chad Daniels, who we all went and saw this last weekend, is going to be one of the performers for it. So it's,
oh, great.
It's rad. It's
and,
cool.
And Kelsey Cook as well.
Kelsey, who's funny. Absolutely fucking incredible.
Yeah. And a foosball champion.
I did not know that.
Yes. From a line of foosball champions.
Wow. Super so, impressive. Yeah.
Comrade Tripp, T-R-I-P-P is my guy. Charles, what about you?
I'm going to keep banging this drum, man. And the reason I'm bringing this up again is just I feel like a lot of comics, I'm going to come off like such a dick. A lot of comics today feel a little more rehearsed than they used to, which I understand that's part of the craft. But Phil Hanley, I am like just absolutely morbidly obsessed with his work.
He's dope.
Because he is... Not only is he really natural with the delivery of his written work, but his crowd work is just phenomenal. Right. And it kind of, I don't want to say it harkens to a bygone era, but it is really cool to see because it's very much the bread and butter of his act. It's not obviously all that he does because his written material is really fantastic, but almost everything that he posts on social media is of him doing interaction and crowd work with guests in his audiences, and he's really fleet of foot. Like, it's such great stuff that he could just do that. Mm-hmm. And on Jordan's episode, he even said, like, some comics do that. Well, they'll do just like an hour of just interacting with the crowd, and it's seemingly both a way to like hone your skills with the crowd, and if you're really good at it, it's really funny, right? But he is like so adept at it. I was just going to pull up because now we have these capabilities to just play something.
Hold on a second. I didn't take the COVID shot.
You didn't take the COVID shot. Oh, shit. I know. I'm microchipped to shit. It's thank you, Bill Gates. Parateacher?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Are you still a parateacher?
Still doing it.
Whoa, in a special ed class?
That's right.
It's so tough. That joke is for people who've been vaccinated. I'm sorry. This is okay. This is for people
that's
who voted
so
for Obama.
So late.
Oh, that's
woo!
So great.
And he goes, nope. And the look on his face, too, when he puts his hand out, he's like, this joke is for people who've been vaccinated.
Oh, that's so fucking great.
Yeah. So it's, if you look him up, he's easy to find because his name is Phil Hanley. But that constitutes almost all of the videos he posts on social media. Because that's all this stuff that he's not giving away his act. No. He's just going with the flow and coming up with material like that. Anyways, because of that and his delivery and just his vibes, he is like, he's a deadhead. You can kind of hear it in his voice. He's kind of like I think he's from Colorado. So he's got kind of a little Colorado body to him.
Built for it.
Right. But I want him to come somewhere that I am, you know, it doesn't have to be Minneapolis, but if I'm on the road somewhere and I see
But come here, sides, you coward.
Yeah, and be on our show, please.
Chicken shit.
Yeah, be on our show, please.
Come on.
Yeah, that's my selection.
Oh, I love that. Oh, man. It sucks because now that we have this capability of bringing in clips, I'm like, oh, but what about, like, no, I need to shut the fuck up. Let's all just cheers each other. Because otherwise we'll be here all night with music. Like, and then play this.
Yeah, this show's going to be 7 hours long now.
That's like that's like the friend that we all have that won't leave your house and just keeps playing you YouTube.
That's me. It's me.
You're not the YouTube's friend. I have way more YouTube Z friends than you.
I am the YouTube Z friend if you're at my house. Because you ended up getting stuck downstairs watching Rise, the story of Augustine.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But no, that wasn't the last thing we watched because we were fucking hammered watching that cartoon.
Oh, yeah, Over the Garden Wall.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, again, to everyone, please watch Over the Garden Wall. It's the greatest cartoon that's ever been invented in history. I'm in love with it.
He's tubes in you right now.
Yeah, damn right.
Over the airwaves.
Damn fucking right.
But we all have a friend who won't leave your house because they have to show you one more YouTube video.
Yeah.
If Marnie's listening to this right now, she doesn't listen to all our episodes, but she might listen to the Derek episode. She's probably laughing her ass off because she's like, yes, I know who you're talking about.
I'm also kind of guilty of that. That's
YouTube-Z. Right.
Yeah, I haven't done that to you, but there's a lot of other friends in the Ben Quam world that are like, oh, yeah, that motherfucker. Yeah, I've done that. God. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to skip the rest of where I would reference. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Derek, we all got up in the middle of the goddamn night and we watched wrestling whilst eating food at an absurd hour. I want to know what, like, we had meatball sandwiches and we had incredible kimchi Rubens, and we had some cheese dip for chips.
Yep.
We were that big old dip. We were trying to figure out what's the perfect, like, sports watching food.
Ooh.
And as somebody who may not take sports watching as serious as, like, an idiot like me does, I want to know, like, are you there for the foods eaten, or the sports is watching, or the shit talking? Like, when you're showing up to a get together, what are you looking for? And then what would be your jam? And if there's something that's always missing, what would you want to have be a part of the sports world?
Well, besides the great company, of course.
Of course, but, of course.
You know, the first food, because we all love food, let's be honest.
Yep.
Any type of dip is a good place to be.
Is there a dip that you don't dip? Oh. Is there something that would make you not want to dip the dip?
Ooh.
Because I feel like, dip the dip. This has to be a fluid conversation.
Oh, that is a good question. You know, I don't think there's one particular dip where I'm like, no, thank you. But so I'm kind of over French onion dip. You know, like just that basic French onion dip.
Sure, sure.
So
that's fair.
Yeah.
So you just want, like, do you want, like, multi-layered dips?
I think multi-layered is a good place to, a good avenue to go.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I like a little nuance to it. You know, I like some depth to it.
Do you want like, tortilla chips or Ritz crackers?
You know,
what townhouse? Is that what the Protestants do because they're too... I feel like the townhouse has to be the Protestant version of Ritz crackers.
I like can't have corn.
That's too buttery.
No corn for me, please.
I like the thin, like, tortilla chips, like the you know what I mean, the restaurant style, like the thinner tortilla chips.
The ones that break when you use them.
100%. They're a nightmare.
They leave a dead soldier every time you scoop.
Except according to Tostito, they don't break because they're like, even this big old dip.
I use it as an excuse to go back for more, so.
Fair.
All right, so is there a thing that you're like, if that's in the dip, I'm in?
You know, I like spice. So if there's like jalapenos or some sort of pepper in there, you've got my attention.
I like it.
If there is, you know, I'm trying to think if there's something like, I'm not a huge fan of like green peppers. So if there's like something with green peppers in it, that might deter me a little bit.
Fuck green bell peppers.
Yeah. They're the bastard pepper. Everybody knows it.
I hated them for a long time because my dad always tried to put them on one half of pizza. And if you put them on one half of pizza,
it tastes
like one whole pizza.
That is my argument. Green pepper. That is why I don't like green peppers. The pizza argument.
Mm-hmm. I love green peppers by themselves. I will eat an entire green pepper by itself. But if you're going to throw that on a portion of food, fuck out of here.
Yeah.
All right, Charles.
Edible.
What's your sports food?
Yeah, we're talking about like sports food that we would like to see more.
Yeah,
I think we use sports foods as a form of shameless gluttony, which I'm not complaining about because it is fun to just eat whatever you want while you watch UFC.
It's literally the name of my autobiography.
Oh, what's it? Which part?
Shameless gluttony.
Big old dip. Baby. Big old dip. That's the name.
Big old dip.
Tell me when I said no to a thing.
Okay. I will be here for a while thinking about it. But what I like is, I would love to class up a football game or a boxing match or something and have the homie Bosca come and just demolish us with incredible sushi. And he could just be doing whatever in the kitchen as he does, because he's a fucking master. And we would just be, he'd just run in the room and be like, what's up? I got this thing. And I'd be like, yeah, you do. And then how about we drink sake instead of beer, you know, watching a fucking boxing match or a football game or a hockey or
whatever it is.
You know what I'm saying? I would really love if that was a more acceptable option.
I hate that you almost sniped me.
Ooh,
but you didn't. Cause my thing is, I think poke should be a bigger part of,
yeah, why not,
like, eating in this world.
Yeah,
there's nothing that I love more than just like fucking cubing up tuna, like a beautiful tuna, doing the same thing to a couple avocados, tossing it in a little glaze, and then throwing in all of my seasonings, a little black vinegar, really getting it going, and then boom, there we go. Literally put some wonton chips out, which I have both bought and made.
Easy.
It's so great. And as long as you have, like, it sucks because you have to do a punch bowl with ice and then you do the mixing bowl in it. But man, it's so good. And then you don't have to feel like shit. Like, that's the worst part, is all I want to do is I want to scoop things with chips and just keep eating them.
That is a good point.
I do love the fact that, like, I can do salsa, and of course I can just smash some fucking, like, Velveeta-ass cheese, like some government-ass cheese in, like, a sausage dip.
Cheese product.
But then, yeah, some cheese product that is melted perfectly. Mm. But, man, there's nothing better than, like, grabbing a legit wonton chip and just scooping up, like, these big-ass hunks of tuna. Like, I just wish people would be more okay with that.
I think it needs a better marketing department.
100%.
Poke. Yeah. Poke does well in a lot of markets. We have a couple places that do it. I think that people are not trusting of poke as a commodity. I think they do look at it like, is that sushi that's been sitting around?
Understandable for Minnesota in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely understandable now. Like, right. Everything is flash frozen. If you're getting it anywhere that's far away, it's flash frozen no matter what. So if you're in Minnesota or Nebraska or Chicago, you're not getting anything delivered to you fresh. It's coming frozen, flash frozen, and then can immediately be thawed.
Yes.
But you're not getting anything like, oh, we just delivered it straight to you.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do that, we're going to take all of the appropriate safety precautions. Then the first thing that I want to do is hit that shit raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, one of the most common misnomers about sushi, for instance, is that the fresher the fish, the better the sushi. That is untrue. They age the fish.
Facts.
They age the fish for sushi. Look it up. I've had to tell too many people this. They're like, you got to go be by the coast to eat it. No, you don't. No, they got it. They're going to age the fish.
They're not just pulling it out of the sea.
They don't like, here you are. Yeah, there are enzymes that flow through the flesh of the fish because it has been dispatched that need to be dissipated via time. Like, it has to actually kind of leach out of the flesh of the fish before it can be served to you. And as with anything with aging, there are some pretty cool techniques. Like, Bosk himself now is doing some very cool stuff with aging tuna to try various time integers of long form aging, not unlike what you see happening with beef and things we've talked about that we'd like to see more of, like with duck.
Yep.
And the thing is that people associate fish that has sat with being like gross and stinky. No, just like if you have a compost bin in your house, you drill holes in the top and nothing that goes in it stinks because you're not containing all of the bacteria. You're enabling the moisture to escape somewhere. So you can dry age fish. You could do it right in your fucking fridge. You ever notice that if you keep it in like butcher paper, it gets stinky. But if you put a piece of fish on a plate and put it in your fridge, open air, it won't stink until it's actually rotting.
Also, the point of that is it's the same across everything. Like if you just keep a steak in a baggie, it's going to get gross as fuck.
Yeah.
But if you let it like sit open, this happens with everything. So please stop blaming that on fish. Just because it's the first thing that will smell a little off. It's just letting you know first of all, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. It's hey, if it does quick. Stink, it really stinks. It's right. Like if it's going to stink on right. you, it's going to real stink.
I'm just letting you know, like, it's the nicest. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of, like, beef and pork cuts that won't tell you, but you're going to get some weird-ass bacteria mm-hmm. in there. They're hey, like, Derek, ah, we're sneaking it.
Derek, I don't know if you got to, like, what would you want to have, especially as someone who kind of, as a sports viewer, as an outsider, you know, you've suffered my foolishness many times doing things at the club like pro wrestling and UFC. What would you want to have there that isn't something that is commonly found?
You know, I really, you know, because this is obviously a recent event, but when we did the live stream, the sandwiches, not something I'm used to at sporting events, like with the sandwiches, like how, what you made, what you brought with the meatball sandwiches, like that, that's something that I don't usually think of when I think sporting events. Mm. I always think pizza, I think, you know, the sure. kind of usual sure. fare, but like something with a little more uniqueness and preparation to it, I think is, I think, kind of missing out.
You're know? Not wrong.
It's true.
I mean, usually when we show up at a sports thing, everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, well, I don't know. I wanted to bring something delicious. Is that wrong?
I mean, for years, Dewey, our friend Dewey, and myself for UFCs, we've done it as much of late. I would love to get back into it, but we would have UFCs, like at my house, for instance, set up the projector in my yard, fire up the grill, and we'd theme based on, ordinarily, it'd be the two guys in the main event. So it's a Brazilian guy versus a Mexican guy. And so we'd say, well, what Brazilian food and or Mexican food can we make to theme it to the main event of this mixed martial arts contest? And that's fun because you actually can explore flavors and totally. Stuff. You're not just like, order a pizza.
Yeah,
exactly. Do it.
Get some wings.
Do it.
Do it.
I mean,
do
we
it.
Love all those things, but
do
just
calm. Do all of it.
Do it.
Yeah. Fuck that.
And that live stream was, I mean, 4 a.m, so, you know, you really got to bring your app.
Again.
Yeah.
I will say it did weirdly fuck up my weekend, but it was very fun.
Yeah.
I was very okay with that.
Surprising how hungry you are at 4 a.m, because you're not used to being, you know, you're like, oh shit, I'm usually really hungry at 4 a.m.
Weirdly enough, I was like, I'm not hungry for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I was like,
yeah. Anyway, I think, yeah, cheers.
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 I believe, Charles, this is you. Mm-hmm.
I do also want to point out that you mispronounced tuna.
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 It's all just right. his accent.
C-H-U-N-A. You're right. That's how we, I'm sorry, do you guys say it differently?
Yeah, that's how Gordo says it, so. Sweet. All right, let's talk fashion inspo. More fashion talk.
Hit me.
What region of the world is a big inspiration for you in 2024, fashion-wise? Is it modern day, or is it harkening back to another time? Because you can go whatever direction you want with that.
It's a little bit of both, but okay. Italy, particularly like the coast. So think like Napoli, right?
Yeah.
The Amalfi. The idea of, you know, because the Italians, what they do really well is they always dress. They dress for the weather, the climate that they're in, but they're always put together. So soft shoulders, colors, fabrics that are breathable.
Flowing scarves.
Flowing. Everything flows. Mopeds. Everything flows. And I feel like the essence of Italy is really something that I relate to in my head, especially, you know, living in Los Angeles for about a decade or so. That climate really is acceptable to, you know, wearing colors and lighter garments and softer shoulders and color. And so, you know, that's something I've always been drawn to. To add to that, you know, the era of the 1920s, I think, is like really kind of, in my mind, the golden era of menswear, to where you've got these really timeless silhouettes. You know, it wasn't too baggy. It wasn't super thin. It was just really well cut, and everybody dressed well. If you were sweeping the streets, you're probably wearing a suit, and everyone had like at least one good suit. So there you have it.
I love that.
Yeah. I figured you'd say that because is it, well, what part of Italy, hosts, P.D. Pablo?
P.D. Pablo, P.D. Uomo. Florence, I believe.
It's Florence. Okay. Yeah, Pitti Uomo is twice annual, right? Twice annual.
Fashion. In my head, this is only Pitti Pablo. Just
Pitti Pablo.
It's, well, I know, that's what I call it because it's a lot funnier to say.
Typically, if off the top of my head, I think it's typically in January and in June.
Cool. Yeah. And it's like, would you say that's like the real CNB scene fashion party in the world?
It is. Yeah, you've got people coming together all over the world to take pictures in this like little like square, outdoor square. So there's dinner parties, there's cocktail parties, it's a real who's who of influencers, designers, clothing brands. I mean, you name it. Anyone that's in the fashion or fashion adjacent world likes to go to this every now and again. Yeah.
Oh man, I'm so not fashionable. Trying to think about this. Fuck.
Could be anything though. You know, it could be footwear, or denim.
No. It's so cool. Like. Seeing the way that like 90s fashion has come around again, I think it's really interesting. Mm. Like watching people who had no part in that, like dealing with it. And that's kind of fucking rad. But I also look at that and I'm like, I have no interest in that. I'm just like, no. What I do love is that. I don't know how to describe this, and Derek, I'm sorry if this offends you at all, but I feel like the last couple of years, like since we've pushed everybody to at least come back to the office a little bit in like executive roles or corporate roles, and this is my first time like really experiencing that. If you shake it all up, the thing that I love the most is that it eliminated. Like, the long tie was the thing for a long time, right? Like, that was, like, what everybody had to do. And then there was a little bit of fun once, like, the craft cocktail wave came through where, like, bow ties became a thing.
Yep.
And then, like, ascots got mentioned for a second. And then, like, everything shut down. And they're like, all we do is wear yoga clothes.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool. The thing that I love is that I now have legitimately an equal proportion in my closet of ascots, bow ties, long ties. And where I used to have to like worry like, oh God, is somebody going to be mad if I rock this? Now anybody's just happy if I'm wearing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a little bit of like, all right, cool. My thing is, yeah, I might honestly like, all right, so if you look at the coat that you made for me, like Derek made a beautiful, gorgeous sport coat that was literally sewn to my exact proportions. So there are times that I'm going to rock the shirt that you also custom made for me underneath with a beautiful big satin black bow tie.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm going to show up to a thing that's outside and I'm going to wear that with a paisley, like flip over the top ascot. And it's going to be very, very similar for the holy shit, this looks great. But also like, oh, now you're having some fun.
Yep.
And then since that, now I'm doing like different color options for the shirt underneath because the coat that you made me is like plum.
Yep.
And so if I can do like a bright blue to pop off that,
yep,
or even better, like an orange, then all of a sudden I'm going to wear something different. I love that to me.
You like to accessorize.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, yep. I love the idea of like, hey, all right, I'm going to take this very seriously. So therefore I'm going to take this a little lighter.
Yeah.
Because if you know me at all, that's what I am.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to something that we've talked about on the show before, the very first time that I had to show up in court was for a DUI. And somebody just said, wear what you think. I was like, should I dress up? And they were like, wear what you think is comfortable. So I dressed up in a suit.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the judge was kind of surprised that like I was very comfortable in a suit. But that was just a reminder of like, I love getting dressed up. So, all right, well, then let's figure that out from there. And I just continue to try and figure out things I can bring in that I can afford.
Yeah.
That can work with me.
Yeah.
But Charles, what about you?
When people ask me if I'm traveling for business or pleasure, I always say, ¿por qué no los dos? I always travel for both. And at this stage in my professional life, I have four businesses, a creative services, marketing, a consultation business. I have this wonderful podcast. I have a clothing business.
Wait, you have a fucking podcast?
Believe it or not.
Dude.
You also forgot about the business of being awesome.
Oh, shit. I think all these things are the Voltron of being awesome. Is that what it is?
That just comes naturally, motherfucker.
So the obviously the clothing business, and then I now have a coffee business, which you'll hear more about someday soon, I'm sure.
And come in.
So everywhere I go, I pull value, right? I'm doing R&D for my business. I'm doing research. I'm visiting potential producers. I'm really looking forward to being in Japan and exploring particularly denim. So if you look at me right now, this is a total coincidence based on my answer. I'm wearing all denim. I'm wearing this this barbour denim shirt that my brother gave me. I'm wearing these Shaco Atelier jeans, which are kind of a stretch Japanese denim. So they have a little bit of give to them.
And Justin Trudeau is literally breathing a breath onto the window and then making a heart symbol at Charles, which is very disconcerting. Like, Justin, knock it off. He gets it. You love the Canadian tuxedo. Just
it's the Minnesota. We're taking it. We're taking the power back. It's the Minnesota tuxedo. Okay, stay tuned.
Not tonight.
It's the Minnesota tuxedo, baby.
I think he's gone.
We got our own version. It's the Minnesota tuxedo. Just keep
there. There's a toonie in the car.
Yeah,
I think he's fine.
Yeah, he's in your. Why is he sitting in your car?
Oh, he's in your car.
Oh, he's in the Jeep.
I was looking at the Jeep.
Did he reach?
Eating a crepe.
You gotta cross the Rubicon. It says it on his hood.
It's cross the Rubicon right on there. Anyway. So denim is something that I am looking forward to exploring in Japan. My understanding is that Kyoto has a lot of really great denim mills and denim brands. I'm not a big fan of super heavyweight denim, but we're exploring adding some new things to the Caraway family. And one of the things that we're looking into is adding denim to our portfolio, but we're taking our time because we want to find, just like with the suits and shirts and shoes, we want to find like the finest fabric and materials to make the products that we make. And
real quick, you have an immediate customer, just saying,
straight up, let's do it. But yeah, that'll be, I think that's a great place to explore and see if
for
there
sure
might be a possibility to cultivate some relationships with some Japanese denim producers. So I would say that's my big thing right now. This year I'm wearing a lot more denim. Honestly, I think for my entire life until about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I will never wear any denim above my waist. I just didn't like the look. I thought it looked dated, right? And then I bought this set from, again, Shaco Atelier, this really great denim jacket and these denim pants. And I get complimented on it a lot, and I love the way I look in it. It's kind of slubby. It's a little like rugged, but it's got some cool texture to it.
Yep. Look good,
dude. It's very comfortable feeling as well. And so it's made me realize that I do like to wear denim.
Also, on top of all that, it just looks good on you. Like, that's the difference.
Yeah, it's like a good combination of like form and function.
If you had that same outfit on and it was ill-fitting.
Oh, totally.
Nobody would say anything.
Absolutely.
That's the difference. Like, yes. To me, again, that's the thing that I always want to come back to is, something was made for you to look that good on you. It's wildly different. Wildly different. When you put that same shit on and you're like, yeah, it was just like I bought it off the rack.
Yeah.
Sorry, Like, that's the difference, period.
For sure, for sure. And sometimes you can get lucky, but why be lucky when you can be good?
Facts. Facts.
Trademark that.
It probably already is. That's also an existing saying in some form or fashion, but it's a good one.
Nobody makes denim underwear, I've noticed.
Whoa. Yet. Yet.
Yeah, but hold on. If you were Denim Dukes, they're both.
I guess that's right. That's right.
Sammy, are you listening? We had a party. Okay, so we had a launch party here at the Semple Mansion for, you know, basically just the things we're doing in 2024 here at Caraway with our new partnership. And friend of the podcast, Sammy with D, did come, but he threatened slash promised to wear Daisy Dukes. And I was like, ooh. And when he showed up, I was like, what's going on here? You are not wearing Dukes. Yeah, you said you were going to wear Dukes. So I was disappointed.
He owes us Dukes.
He does. At least some tasteful nudes, you know?
Or honestly, maybe I want one distasteful nude.
This is exactly what Derek said.
All right, so.
He texted me earlier and said, I hope you got at least some tasteful nudes. And I'm like, they weren't tasteful.
Because there were some photos being taken at the mansion
again.
Today. And I said to him, did you get some tasteful nudes? And he said, they were not tasteful.
Also, to all of our listeners, I don't want a single tasteful nude. Just only distasteful nudes.
And where should people send
those? Are you asking listeners?
No, I'm just saying across the board, don't ever think that anybody wants a legit nude. I just want a distasteful nude.
Yeah, distaste only.
The worst nude ever.
Yeah. It could be your new Instagram handle, distaste only.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Distaste only. Yeah. It sounds like a cooking blog.
It does. Here's 27 hours.
All right.
So, all right. Yep. Well, cheers. Here we go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I need more whiskeys.
We got one there.
I would like more of that French. Oh,
it's so good.
Silky. That French silk.
French silk.
Thank you, Dirk. God, that's good. Yep. Maker's Mark. French oak. 46.
God. All right.
Bill's recipe.
Right?
Thank you, Bill.
Shout out to Bill.
Bill, what's up?
So, Derek, we're going to jump the gun on patio shit.
Okay.
What is your patio drink that you're looking forward to for this year?
My patio drink? I mean, hands down, it's a Negroni.
Ooh. Okay.
Always a Negroni.
Oh, so is it a long-reigning champion then?
It is. But, you know, we've been... you guys have introduced me to the white Negroni lately, and that is quite nice.
Delicious.
Quite nice. I think you guys did that a podcast or two ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh, it's so good.
That's a good answer. White
is there a specific like gin that you're looking for a Negroni, or are you just good with whatever?
You know, I'm pretty good with whatever, but there is a gin out of Hawaii that is called Fid Street.
Oh yeah.
Which is pretty nice for Negroni.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
Charles, what about you?
I'm going off the rails on the easy train.
Do it.
And I've been a highball guy for a long time, but I haven't done that many this winter. I think I'm going to just be crushing highballs.
Ooh.
On the patio. And they don't just got to be whiskey, but Japanese whiskey highballs, my jam. Toki highballs, easy money. Beam highballs, easy money. But I'm going to mix it up, do some tequila, do some other agave spirits, gin, whatever. I think highballs, easy. That's the best part, right? Easy, just get your highball. You don't have to use a highball glass, but I got them.
Could be a lowball.
Could be a lowball. It doesn't matter. It's not about the glass itself. It's about the drink itself. But I'm really looking forward to just blasting highballs on the patio. Love
it. Had my first highball in Chicago.
That was your first highball at all?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That was a good one to be your first one.
All right. First of all, awesome. But second of all, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Longman and Eagle, baby. That Jim Beam Toki highball machine. Mm-hmm. Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, I had to send a video of all the bubbles popping to Tyson. And he's like, the glass must be dirty. There must be imperfections. And I'm like, nah. It is. I mean, I do understand his point. But I think actually now that I've discussed it with him, I think there's like a little bit of salt, a little sodium to make those bubbles pop more. But it's perfect. I don't need the lemon. It's okay if it's there. You know, that is very classic. I'm about to drink a lot of highballs in a couple of weeks here. But all I want is just really popping bubbles and some nice whiskey. And I don't like it on ice, but I will drink it on ice. I just like to preserve the characteristic of those bubbles. Derek, what did you think of your first Longman and Eagle Toki highball machine?
I really liked it. I thought it was, I didn't know, I thought I'm going to be drinking whiskey and water is what I was thinking in right. my head, which is not a, you know, we do that all the time in various forms. But I really liked it. I liked the, what stuck out to me was the bubbles were so fine. It was like champagne bubbles.
Yes.
That was infused with the whiskey. So, it was really like palatable, on the tub.
Isn't
the tongue,
it
you know?
Beautiful? Like yeah. It just feels so good when you drink it. It's got that kind of pop rock effect. It really is like drinking champagne.
Yeah.
Shout out Beam Centauri, our sponsors. They are responsible for that beautiful machine.
Yep.
It's the champagne of whiskeys.
Delicious. Across the board.
Yeah. It was good.
The champagne of whiskeys.
I think that the thing that... All right, so we have this lake in the Twin Cities.
What?
And what? So Badamakoska has this... It's a part of, like, for those that haven't been to the Twin Cities, it's this, like, beautiful lake in the middle of the city. And, of course, like, there's crazy, like, rich houses around it. But it's also, like, kind of a part of, like, what we do yep. in the city.
Yep.
And it was formerly called Lake Calhoun. Now it's called Badamakoska. And... At one point, we had a restaurant called Tin Fish. So Tin Fish was serving fried fish and just kind of being a part of everything else around it. And Tin Fish, depending on who you look at, either gave up on their business or were technically burned down. But no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It vanished. Mm-hmm. And now that building has been rebuilt by the city. And there is a company, which is super fucking dope, that is taking over the food for it, which is the Pimento Group. So two owners from Jamaica and one owner who was born in Jamaica who came up to Minnesota. And they are now working on all of that together.
Nice. Cool.
I'm really excited for what they're up to. I think it's going to be super fucking awesome. That said, there's been a lot of pushback against that because people just wanted to be able to have like their little fried fish. What we ended up with is a really great group that's kicking out awesome cocktails and also awesome fish.
So they're serving drinks there as well?
Correct.
So what's the patio drink that you want with their food? Because are they doing Jamaican food?
They are. They're doing all Jamaican food. They're doing all Love spins it. On fish. So even with like the white fish that would be normal, like sunfish and all that for Minnesota, they're doing that with like a Jamaican twist. And then they're trying to do like basically like tiki drinks / Jamaican drinks to go with everything. Mm-hmm. And they're leading up to it. And, of course, as we deal with a lot of times, the city is being an asshole. But we're trying to figure it out. So, basically, we're hoping that we can get everything up and running in time for basically when the Summer Lake series happens for us.
Are they dragging their feet on the liquor license? Or?
Of course. Of course. Okay. It's been tough. So, again, not trying to talk shit about the city, but... Minneapolis has been pretty brutal, but they also own the rights to it. So the city of Minneapolis has funded the building of this building.
Pavilion. Yeah.
But they chose Pimento to actually execute everything. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So
you'd say like just Jamaican drink. some kind of Jamaican cocktail.
So they're making sorrel a part of like just all the drinks. So the fact that like sorrel will actually be something that hopefully like middle-aged yoga moms will be a part of, I think that would be rad.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So the pavilion. Okay. So the pavilion, that was in the works for a really long time.
Yeah.
So it actually opened in the fall, like but years. This is the stuff for like warm season. Yep. That's going to happen.
They still haven't like really done anything. So they're working into it for this year.
Cool. I want the, I want Jamaican cocktails.
Dude, that's it. Like,
give them to me.
Sorrel punch with rum and just chilling on the shore of a lake. That sounds fucking rad.
Jamaican me thirsty.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge fan of Jamaican cocktails because everyone I know that travels to Vegas asks me where to go. And I always, my first recommendation is go to Jammyland, Jamaican cocktail bar in the art district, which absolutely fucking rules. If they make anything like those guys, anything, if they make cocktails or anything like what they make at Jammyland, they'll just be killing it out there.
Dude.
Love it. Cheers.
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 Topic number 6 coming right up. Okay, so we've all traveled together in various configurations, obviously, to some pretty fantastic locales all around the world. Recount a great travel memory with someone in this room.
Oh, well, not to be biased, but, you know, we were just in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And what was really great, there was a lot of great things about this trip, but one of I think the really great things about this last trip is we got to do some omakase sushi, which I thought was, I wasn't planning on that. You know, that wasn't part of this trip in my head going into it until Charles mentioned it. And it was a unique experience in the way we did it because it was a very intimate setting. You know, there was, I think, six total.
Yep. Omakase yume.
Yep, yep. Short and it was... this really intimate space. They did a phenomenal job. The sushi was great. Outside of that, it was just, it was part business, part pleasure. You were talking about like a lot of all the business, all the travel you do is a little bit of both. And it was nice to be able to go and enjoy great food, go to this trade show. That's one of the largest trade shows in the country called Chicago Collective. And it was beautiful to kind of meet all these vendors and different, you know, companies that I've worked with, you know, from all over the world that you never really get to see face to face. And it was nice to be able to actually meet, you know, these people that I've been doing business with for years and years. And it was also nice to go with Charles because it was kind of like this signifying of like our like formal relationship being business partners. And it was kind of a nice way to kind of start that off kind of, you know, formally. You know,
totally.
Yeah,
I agree.
And Maduro. Should we talk about Maduro in Madison?
Do that.
Oh, so there's this great little spot in Madison that, you know, I'd been hearing about that's right by the Capitol. And it's a great cigar bar where you can actually go and get cocktails. So you can go and have a cigar and have a martini. And it's unique experience. We're not used to being able to do that here. So it was kind of a refreshing experience.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Love that place. Yeah, that was a great trip.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun.
Is there anything you would do again or that you wouldn't do again?
Oh, also we should talk about the deli we went to. I got the sandwiches. Remind me, what's the name?
Publican?
Yes, Publican.
Publican quality.
And the burger.
So
and the burger
good.
We went and got.
Come on, Publican?
From Acheval. Yeah.
Au cheval.
Yeah. That was the bone marrow, the burger. I mean,
got bone marrow all over my shirt.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good night until you get bone marrow on your shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's clear.
I mean, I was like, what the?
I don't think anybody was mad about that.
Yeah. Nobody
was
mad.
I was a little mad, but I ignored it for a while so I could enjoy my food.
I was told that au cheval had the best burger pretty much on the planet.
Yes.
And it held up. It held up. So, anyone listening in Chicago, au cheval.
All I heard was that the you didn't have the bologna.
Get it over with.
Again, it's fine.
Or a bunch of bologna.
We didn't get any hot dogs while we were there.
That's,
so
that's fine.
Or dipped Italian beef.
Y'all just lost out. That's fine. It is what it is.
I'll let you have it. You can have your moment.
No, it was. I will always be happy about the bologna there. That's who, again.
Bologna.
Who doesn't love the bologna?
and we remarked at the efficiency of Usheval's hood above their where they're cooking. Man, it was just like straight. It was a marvel to watch.
Yeah,
jet engine.
Yeah.
So I think the actual question was like, think about a
fun travel memory.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Charles, 40 years from now, if I'm at a funeral and I'm leaning into that hard, like I might make it 40 years. but real talk, there will never be a time. There will never ever be a time that I don't love that night that we sat on the bridge in Copenhagen, like what, waiting for the sun to rise. And it wasn't because that was like some like really cool, like, oh, we did it. It wasn't because like I'm a rebel. It was because that was the most beautiful thing that needed to happen at that time.
Yeah.
Like I, there are so many things in my life that have happened that meant more, that had more ties to things, right? That had shit where it was like, no, this is awesome. But just straight up understanding and loving life, sitting on that bridge in Copenhagen, that's a thing I will never not think about when it comes to this podcast. Yeah. And I don't care if tomorrow we're told we can't do this anymore or we do this for another 20 years. That will always be a thing that I think about.
We very suddenly have done a lot of travel together.
Correct.
That was the first place that Kwame and I traveled to outside of the state of Minnesota. We just had been doing this podcast and not going on a trip together. This is what we did together. Mm-hmm. Was this show. And that night,
it was so weird.
It wasn't just the bridge. The bridge was signifying of not wanting the night to be over.
Yeah.
Because we were amidst this group of people, this like motley crew that came together throughout that week, including a guy I just met that night because he came with my wife and I to Alchemist. I met two people for the first time and they came with us to the Alchemist, one of the most famous restaurants on earth, to enjoy a 50 course, air quotes, they're not all food, but a 50 course experience. And then when we left, I asked him if he would like to join us for more beverages. And he said, yeah, the night is young. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So he and a bunch of other people and us and our friends who came with us and my wife and, you know, Dewey and Haley, like we had this big group of people and we were just bandying about town, getting shawarmas, getting drinks, picking up beers. And we ended up on this bridge and it was like one of those, I don't want this night to end moments.
Yep. And it was like, I bought beers because I was like, all right, dude, if this is where we're at, let's go. So I brought beers and I love that. Like Charles, your wife bought waters. Cause she's like, everyone's going to need some shit. Like, cool. So I just show up on this fucking random bridge with 24 beers and we're just handing them out. And it turns out some of the people we handed them out weren't even a part of our crew. Yeah. Whatever. Don't care. That was so fucking rad because everybody that was a part of our group just got to watch a sunrise and have some beers. It was awesome.
Perfectly still water too.
Yep.
Like the reflection of the sun rising.
Yep.
On about the stillest water you will ever see in your life.
Facts.
Was fucking fascinating. It just mirrored the horizon. Really fucking cool. Dewey and I came guns blazing with shawarmas. got beers.
I was like, waters. Hey. And then I ended up somehow still having some of the fucking shawarma.
I forced him to eat my shawarma.
We did. Like, we did.
Just take a bite.
Fuck off.
Yeah, man, that's a great one. And also, that's definitely like a snapshot moment. That's something where you could say where we were standing. If we should ever, either independently, together, whatever, return to that city, I would know where we were.
Facts.
Not just what bridge was the bridge that we were on, yep. but I'd know exactly where we were standing because we stayed there. We kind of locked ourselves there. We watched the light kind of grow around us, blooming around us and making all the buildings illuminated. And it was just one of those, like, let's just breathe in the cool night air and, like, sip on these beers and just have some conversation and watch the world kind of spin around us. It was wow. one of those moments.
Sounds like a movie.
Felt like one.
Well, you should have been there, Derek. God damn it.
Next time. I'll do one for both of you. So I'm gonna do the same trips because there's other ways we could go. We've done, like,
yeah.
Kid Derek and I've done all cabin right. trips yeah. and stuff. Quam and I have been many places now, but that same trip, I loved being able to share my fine dino side with you at your Nair.
Oh, for sure.
We had such a fucking wonderful time.
That was it.
Like, I've learned so much about those guys since. The head chef co-owner was like formerly
so
like a
wild.
He was like a gang fucking tough.
Uh-huh.
It's such a great story.
Dude, I love them so much.
The level of detail and perfection in their food, especially having reflected on it, because we ate so much high-level food on that entire adventure. But now that time has passed and I can reflect back on it, that's like bona fide 3-star mm-hmm. stuff. There's nothing right. they could do better than what they do.
Nope.
And it was so wonderful to have the four of us in that room. They put us in this private room, and I don't know if it was like the size of our party based on when we made our reservation or what it was, but they put us in this really beautiful room. We were drinking spectacular bubbles. The sun is shining through the windows. There's art all around us. The way they present the food had so much whimsy and magic contained
Dude,
in
so
it.
Insane.
And the food itself, when you looked at it, you were like, are you sure I'm supposed to crunch on this? And then it tasted as good as it looked. And it was so cool to share that experience between all of us.
Totally.
But just, I'd never been somewhere like that with Quam. So it was not just fun for, you know, like him to see me in that environment, but for me to see him in that environment. Yep. And we had like an absolutely spectacular night, like every night we had in Copenhagen. For Derek, I'll say Chicago too. Two things. Warlord, super sick. This like seemingly like a scene from Blade, this restaurant with the giant open fire. They're cooking monkfish tails and ducks.
On chains.
Yeah, that place is really doing some esoteric avant-garde type stuff, and I can't wait to go back. The other thing I'll say that was really dope was when we were walking around the expo, everybody knew Derek. Like, everyone knew Derek, which was really cool. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Like, a lot of people were walking up to him being like, Derek Reed? Derek Reed? I was like, oh, shit. This is really fucking cool.
The power of social media.
Yes. No, it's cool. Well, don't be too humble. You clearly have, like, a reputation. A lot of people knew who you were and wanted to, like, have conversations with us. We drank some Negronis with some really cool people from Huddersfield.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really cool. What a great adventure. And that's it, man. More adventures to come.
Absolutely.
We got trips coming up this year and lots of fun coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Well, Derek, you want to tell the people where they can find us?
You know, go to clubcaraway.com. That's Caraway with two R's, CARRAWAY, yes. Or Club Caraway on Instagram is a great resource to kind of see what we're doing. That's it.
Hell yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.